Life can be hard.
And the Apostle Paul wrote to the brethren in Corinth in the second letter, as he began that letter in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 8, he said, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even to life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also, joining and helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many."
I don't know that any of us are ever going to suffer to the extent that the Apostle Paul had to suffer in the various places that he went. He was stoned to death in one place in Asia. And I hope that we never have that kind of persecution or that kind of suffering that we have to undergo. But life can be hard. There's lots of areas of life where we can have difficulties arise. Sometimes it's financial difficulties, or maybe it's health difficulties. And I know several here that assemble with us are having health issues and continue to see those health issues increase rather than decrease sometimes. We have problems with family, we have problems with friends, we have problems in our society, and all of these things can be hazards to our conducting ourselves through this life. They can be, at the very least, a speed bump on the roadway of life. And sometimes they can really just be a big old hole out in the middle of the road that we got to find a way to go around. And I understand that there are things that are available to us, and depending on the nature of the situation, we may have to turn to some things that are available worldwide. If we've got financial problems, we may have to turn to the banks or have to turn to friends or neighbors. If we've got, there's any number of things, we go to the doctor to get our health taken care of. But I think there are some things that we're taught in Scripture that can be of benefit to us in addition to those things. In fact, I think sometimes we automatically turn to the things of the world to fix our problems and forget about the fact that we've got God that we can turn to. And I think that's one of the things that the Apostle Paul presents to the Corinthian brethren here in this passage. When I had all this problem, I dealt with it, but I was grateful for the fact that you were praying for me and I knew God was on my side. So when we talk about this evening, some things that we need to keep in mind in regards to dealing with the difficulties and struggles of life, whether we are able to solve it all with these particular things or not, these need to be a part of our solution. And I think when we're talking about the difficulties of life and having to struggle and deal with things, I think we need to first recognize that we've got to keep going. We've got to keep on our course. We need to recognize and understand that we have to persevere. Troubles can turn us aside if we're not careful, but we need to hold steady to the goal. If we're taking a trip somewhere in our vehicle and we're headed somewhere and we get up there on the interstate and they got a big old sign that says road out, bridge out, we don't just turn around and go back home. We find us another route and we go around that obstacle and we head on down the way we were going. And I think that's one of the first things that we need to keep in mind when we run into obstacles and difficulties, whether they're physical things or spiritual problems that we run into. We've got to stay focused. We've got to keep moving forward. We can't just come to a stop. Paul told the Roman brethren in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, "Not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Paul tells the Roman brethren that bearing up through these difficulties helps them to grow. We have to hold the course.
God tells us to hold the course because it helps us to increase, to grow, to do better. We need to hold the course, as the Hebrew writer refers to it, because of all those who we've got before us as examples who've held the course in spite of the difficulties and struggles. We've got a great cloud of examples he makes mention of there in Hebrews chapter 12, referencing back to those in Hebrews chapter 11 that Brother John's been talking about over the past several months. He says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We've got to hold the course. In Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 32, the encouragement is given to remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of suffering, partly by being made public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Hebrews, we're the ones who keep going. We need to hold to our course. Rather than being distracted and tempted to just sit back and do nothing because there's some obstacle in our way, we need to understand that our responsibility is to move forward. Find some way to work through this. That's not easy to do. Sometimes the obstacles that we have look like a big old brick wall, and we're just standing there facing it with no way to climb it, no way to go around it. As far as we see down there and as far as we see over there, it's just a big old obstacle in the way. It makes it hard to do sometimes, but I think the first thing that we need to do when we are faced with a difficulty is we need to find a way to keep moving forward, lest we give up before our course is done. One of the ways that we can do that is by remembering that these troubles here upon this earth are temporary. They're not permanent. Because the world itself is temporary in nature, we need to recognize that the troubles and trials and difficulties of this world are temporary. Since they do not come from God, but from the world, we know that they will pass. James tells us God doesn't tempt us. We're tempted by our own lust. It's the things of the world that get in our way. And no matter how difficult they may seem at this particular time, they are temporary. It doesn't mean that we're going to get completely over them, that they're going to be something that we never think of or never have to deal with again, but we recognize that even if it's something that lingers through this life, in the ultimate, it's temporary. It's going to pass away. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Or as Peter tells in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 11, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we're looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Whereas James tells us when he talks about us making long-range plans and leaving God out of our plans, he says in James chapter 4, verse 14, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. These passages emphasize to us the temporary nature of all things in this earth. One of the difficulties and struggles that I know all of us have dealt with sometime or another, and some still continue to deal with, the loss of love. One of the hardest things for us to work through is to look and say, they're gone and they're not going to be here anymore. How am I going to work through this? How am I going to deal with this not being there? With this person missing? And from time to time, it ain't years. Some of you less than that, some of you longer than that since you've lost someone, they're going to come back. Things are going to come to mind. Certain times of the year are going to be harder than other times of the year. But what we need to do is remember, it's temporary. Oh, it seems permanent because every year, about the first part of August, and all the way through January, February now. It comes back. But it's only temporary. There's a time coming when those won't be our problems anymore. We won't even think about those things anymore. It'll be gone. It's temporary. It's hard for us to see things that are going on for decades as being temporary, but they are. They will pass. If we want to be able to go through and hold to the course that is set before us, we need to get settled in our minds that all the things related to this earth are temporary. They don't last. And set our minds on the things that are eternal. I thought Brother John was going to start preaching a lesson for me when he was up here talking before he started leading singing. Then we started leading these songs. I thought, well, he's already preached part of my lesson. This whole point we just sang about. God, Christ, and the kingdom are eternal. They're not temporary. And all the efforts that we put into working in them and serving the Lord will last forever. And the temporary is not to be compared with the permanent. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. I know it's listed way down there, but I'm going to read it right now. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Paul says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. We need to take our minds off of the focus of the temporary and set them on the permanent. The things that last. The things of God. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these other things will be added to you, as the instruction were given by Jesus. Paul told the Philippian brethren, in talking about himself and his own life, he said in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, whatever things were gained to me, those I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Paul said, all the things that are happening to me here upon this earth, they don't count as anything in regards to what I have mine through Christ. And I set my mind not on the things that I've accomplished here, but on Christ and His Word dwelling within us. He also points out there in those passages that he doesn't think he's attained or he's going to reach that eternal because of things he's done, but because of his trust in God. We need to put our hopes and our trust in God. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus said in Matthew 16. All the things of this earth are temporary. We need to put our focus on the eternal. How are we going to deal with those problems that arise? My bank account's at zero and there's a new bill coming in I wasn't expecting and I don't have anything to pay with it or pay it with. That's going to be hard to deal with. We may have to go and take some steps here in a physical sense to deal with that. But ultimately, let's realize that that's a temporary thing, and what we're worried about is eternal things. Let's don't let that consume us and get in our way of holding God close within us, holding close to God. Had daughters come home from school and thought the world was going to end because their friends didn't like them anymore. 3 weeks later, they had new friends. That's a minor thing. We as adults don't think much about that unless it's our children that's having to deal with it. But it's just one of those reminders that all of the things of this life are temporary. We'll work through them. We need to keep our focus on God. Remember what the Apostle Paul said, all the things that I suffer, they don't count to anything. They don't matter. What matters is God. Eternity. I think another thing that we need to do when we have problems and we have difficulties, whatever they may be, sometimes we may have someone in, among the brethren that we can turn to that can help us with a specific problem, but overall, we need to let our brethren help us. Even if they don't know about what the specific problem is or can't give us assistance in that, they can help us by giving us encouragement in serving the Lord. Giving and receiving encouragement will help us to better deal with our own difficulties and problems. We understand this. We understand the power of having those that are encouraging us and helping us through our difficulties and struggles. Sometimes it's family, sometimes it's co-workers. But since we're putting our focus on the eternal, let's turn to our brethren also, so they can encourage us in those things and keep our minds focused on what matters. As the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 3, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Strengthen and encourage one another. Help us to stand up against the difficulties and struggles of life so that we can continue on course. To the Corinthian brethren, verse 3 and 4 of the first chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us all in our afflictions, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Paul used comfort a lot in those verses. Basically what he says, God helped us. Now let's use that to help others. We need to seek encouragement. We need to be willing to give encouragement, to comfort and strengthen our brethren, to help them through their difficult and trying times. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 23, the Hebrew writer says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Encouraging our brethren is a part of what we do when we come together in these assemblies. Helping one another keep our focus upon God, upon His Word. Helping us realize that the things of this life are temporary. In fact, sometimes just being in the assembly with our brethren allows our minds to get away from all those troubles and trials that we may be dealing with. Because we set our focus on God while we're here. And even if it's just for the hour or 45 minutes or whatever that we're here, we're able to release ourselves from those troubles. Gives us some relief and encouragement and strengthening from our brethren, knowing that they're helping us to remain on course and focused on eternity. When we have difficulties and trials come up in our life, we need to seek encouragement. And it's good to seek encouragement from brethren. Now, I'm not going to tell you that your brethren will be able to cure your depression. If you've got major depression issues, then you probably need to see some professionals regarding that. But your brethren can help with it by helping you keep your mind on God, if in no other way. We know from Scripture that there are instances where brethren help with health issues, with financial issues, with having to move issues, all sorts of things. But if nothing else, they're an encouragement to keep us focused on God. And that's where we need to be. If we're going to overcome these problems. Finally, and in some ways we've alluded to this a couple of different times, we need to draw near to God. Because James tells us if we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. The only hope we have of overcoming the troubles and trials of this life and holding steady the course is to put things in God's hands, ultimately. Putting our trust and our hope in Him. We need God's peace to help us overcome. Christ is sympathetic to our needs and to our struggles. He's been there. He understands what we're going through. That's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about when he talks about Christ being a sympathetic high priest. He didn't become our high priest and undergo all those things because he needed to learn that, but by doing that, he shows us that he understands. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is there for us to lean on. God is there to listen to us. Paul told the Philippian brethren, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Never underestimate the power of drawing yourself nearer to God in order to overcome the struggles and difficulties of this life. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in the proper time, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Part of submitting ourselves to God is giving Him our cares. The humility that's talked about in Scripture that Christians are to have towards God, the humble and contrite spirit, the submission to God is a giving Him everything and putting it in His hands. Not just our salvation, but our very life. Leave it to Him.
it doesn't mean we just sit back and wait for Him to do something. It means that we turn to Him for the guidance and instruction that we need.
While I recognize there is oftentimes a need for some sort of professional counseling or dealing with some problems, I think sometimes Christians overlook the power of going to God and letting Him handle the problems. Offer prayers to God. Commit your problems and your difficulties to Him. The minor things can be dealt with wholly that way almost. The big things may take a few more things. May take some intervention from others, some professional help. But still, we need to depend on God. Because the only way that we're going to be able to hold the course and work our way through these difficulties and struggles in life is by focusing on eternity rather than the temporary. Now we sing a song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I know He'll take me through, though I'm weak and poor. I can't live at home in this world anymore." Do we truly live that way? Are all our hopes and dreams based upon eternity? That will help us overcome the struggles. Why was Paul able to get through all the things that he dealt with? Because he was focused on God and serving Him. The things of this life were trivial. Even being stoned and left for dead to Paul was trivial in comparison to what was his through Christ. Following these particular principles, using these practices to help us navigate the difficulties of life, at the very least, will help whatever other things we're doing to be more effective. And focus on God is necessary in order for us to have His help to overcome. You know, I was going back over this lesson this afternoon. Well, that's exactly the message of Revelation. That's exactly the message we're studying in our Kingdom of God. Don't put your trust in the world. Put your hope and your trust in God. Let Him be your goal. And in doing so, we overcome all these things. Are we trusting God? That's how you deal with life's struggles. Yes, life is hard. It's not as hard for us as it has been for some. It may not be as hard for us now as it will be later on. There's any number of things that any and all of us are having to deal with that some of us don't even know anything about. But remembering the temple and focus on eternity and God can help us get through. And certainly, will bring us closer to God so that we can have confidence that we'll be with Him for eternity. And isn't that what we're all working for? Not just to be successful here in life, not just to get through these troubles, but to go through judgment with God and Christ on our side. Look this evening and find the things in your life that are amiss and need to be corrected. We urge you to take the opportunity to do that. If you're not a child of God, you don't have the hope of God. You need to become one of His children. Submit yourself in obedience to His will. Confess your belief in Jesus. Turn away from showing yourself in the world and be buried so that your sins might be washed away in baptism. Done these sins in the past and you realize today there are things in your life that are amiss, we urge you to pray to God and ask Him to forgive you. He's there with you. He wants to be on your side. So commit your sins to Him.